Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, we are studying together from the general epistles of the New Testament. Now, these epistles, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and Jude, are part of the New Testament, and they're a very important part of the New Testament. Some people prefer to read the epistles of Paul, or they prefer to read the Gospels, but we need to study also these general epistles, because they're teaching us some very important truths. Whereas the epistles of Paul very often emphasize the means of salvation, we find that one of the main themes in the general epistles is the proofs of salvation. Now, some people believe that there is some conflict between the teaching of James, for instance, and the teaching of Romans. There is no conflict in the Word of God. When God gives His Word, every word of it is inspired by God, and God does not contradict Himself. And therefore, as we study the general epistles, we're going to be trying to see the main purposes for these books. Now, we've already thought about the book of James, and we've just begun to get into the study of the book of 1 Peter. And we're still in the introduction to this book, and I want to take a few minutes today to still introduce this book of 1 Peter to you. I think it's very important as we study God's Word that we study the purpose of each book, how each book fits into God's purposes for our understanding of His working in the world and His working in our lives. Now, we're thinking, for instance, of the purposes of this book of 1 Peter. First of all, I pointed out to you, one great purpose is to prepare them for the great trials and sufferings they're going to go through for the sake of Christ. And this is very important for their understanding, because the Lord Jesus Himself promised in John 15 that Christians were going to go through sufferings and persecutions. And sometimes we use this only as a means of feeling sorry for ourselves rather than recognizing that the benefits of belonging to the Lord Jesus are far greater than anything we ever suffer for Him. But these Christians need to be prepared to go through these trials and sufferings. And as the time goes on, this was written around 60 A.D., as the time would go on, especially into the 60s, there are going to be some terrible persecutions arising under the emperor. These will be Roman persecutions. Before, they had suffered from the Jewish Christians. Not the Jewish Christians, but the Jewish people. The Jewish Christians themselves had suffered at the hands of their own countrymen. But now it's going to be the Romans who are going to bring on this great persecution. Now, the second general purpose is to deal with the basics of their Christian lives. And you notice that all of these books are going to be dealing with the basics of the Christian lives. In addition to other purposes they might have, they're going to be dealing with the basics of the Christian lives. We find this in the epistles of Paul. For instance, Romans chapters 12 to 15, Galatians chapters 5 and 6, Ephesians chapters 4 to 6, Colossians 3 and 4, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5, and so forth. These books, every one of them, even though they might begin with doctrine, for instance, the doctrine of salvation itself, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, they will close with the basics of the Christian life. And no matter where we read in the New Testament, even the Lord Jesus in the Gospels dealt with the basics of the Christian life, how to live the Christian life, how to stand holy before God, and to live a holy life as we live in the world, and so forth. And so in all of the epistles and in the Gospels themselves, this truth is emphasized again and again and again. So there would be danger in the lives of these Christians that they would fail to understand clearly their responsibilities in their new relationship with the Lord. We see this especially emphasized in Romans chapter 6, where many Christians misunderstood the whole idea of grace and its increase whenever sin would increase. And they misunderstood this idea, and they had the idea that somehow they could go in and sin as they pleased. We see it again in Paul's epistle to the Galatians, where the Galatians were standing in the freedom from the law, standing in the freedom that the Lord Jesus had given them. And many of them were using this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. And so Romans chapters 5 and 6 is going to have to deal with this misunderstanding of what the Christian life is all about. We see it again in 1 Corinthians chapters 8. We see it again in Romans chapter 14, a very similar problem to 1 Corinthians 8, where the Christians were doing whatever they pleased, the Gentiles especially, eating meat offered to idols. It didn't matter to them if it offended the Jews. It didn't matter to them if this meat had been offered first to the idols. They didn't believe in the idols, therefore they believed they had the right and the freedom to do whatever they wanted. And so the basics of the Christian life, and especially our responsibilities before God, is very important for us to understand. So there is this strong comparison of these two epistles written by Peter with Paul's epistle to the Romans, or to the Galatians, or to the Ephesians, or the Colossians, or to any of these other churches to which Paul wrote. Now therefore, the nature of these two epistles would therefore be mainly to encourage these scattered believers in their faith and stand for the Lord, and to reassure them of their hope and their responsibilities before God. Now let me just say a word about the date of the writing of this first epistle of Peter. We know from the nature of the contents that it was written rather late in the life of Peter. As far as we know, Peter died in the same persecution in which Paul died. Paul died under Nero, under that great persecution where Nero tried to stamp out Christianity in the Roman Empire. And both Paul and Peter died in that persecution. We believe the date of their death is somewhere around 65 or 66 AD. But this book was written before Peter was ready to die. In fact, it was written while he was still free. Apparently, he was still traveling while he was writing this book, still very active in the work of the Lord, and he was not yet in prison or ready to die. And so this book probably is written about the same time as when Paul wrote the prison epistles. Now we notice from the life of Paul, Paul was in prison in Rome from 58 to 61 AD, but then there was a time of freedom. He was released from prison, a time of freedom, about 4 years. And finally, in about 65 AD, Paul was caught again by the Jews, or by the Romans rather, and he was taken prisoner by them and then died in a Roman prison in about 66 AD. So we believe that the date for the writing of this first epistle of Peter would probably be around 60 or 61 AD, when Peter was free and he was able to travel and was able to freely minister to the churches. And then let me say a word about the outline of the book, and I'll be following this outline as we teach the book. I've given the book the title, Salvation, Its Benefits and Its Responsibilities. It seems to best divide along these lines, its benefits and its responsibilities. The benefits would be in chapter 1, verses 3 to 12, and you might want to take some of this down. And then the second part of the book would be the responsibilities of salvation given to believers from chapter 1, verse 13 to chapter 5, verse 11. And so there are two great divisions to this book, its benefits and its responsibilities, that is, of salvation itself. The benefits and then the responsibilities of the Christian life. So we'll be following this outline, and I want to begin today for these few minutes in following this outline and sharing with you from this book of 1 Peter. Let's go first of all to the introduction to the book, where Peter has this to say in verses 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you, and peace be multiplied. Now you notice in this introduction, in verse 1, he simply identifies himself as Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now Peter would be well known. The very name Peter would be known throughout the, at least the area of Asia. I was going to say throughout the Roman Empire, but at least the area of Asia. The name of Peter would be very well known. And I also believe probably it would be well known throughout parts of the Roman Empire as well in Europe, because many of these believers in Europe had come to the feasts there in Jerusalem. They would have heard Peter preach on the day of Pentecost, And as they came to these feasts and attended the feasts and heard him preach, many of them, in fact, would have been converted on that very day, the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached and 3,000 came to the Lord. And so his name would be known throughout. He doesn't need to say a great deal about himself. He simply introduces himself, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And let me just note again, as I've noted in many of our studies, that when he uses this word apostle, he is speaking of his authority before God. In other words, he's speaking with authority. He's speaking with the authority of an apostle appointed by Jesus Christ to that peculiar position of an apostle. Now, in the Gospels, they were simply called the disciples. But then they took on the term apostle. It means a representative of the Lord. They had special power. They had special authority. They had special ability before God. And when John died in 95 AD, this office of the apostle ceased. Some claim today that they still can be an apostle. There is no such office today. We have pastors, evangelists, teachers, but we don't have any more apostles. So he's one of the very first disciples the Lord called. He was one of the 12. We believe Paul also became that 12th apostle when Judas, of course, betrayed the Lord and left. We believe Paul was the one that God chose. So very often Peter was singled out for special attention by the Lord. He was with the Lord from the very beginning. We find this clear back in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We find it in other books where Peter was one of the very first ones called to serve the Lord. And we notice also his very close relationship with the Lord. Let me just mention this very, very briefly. He had this very close association with the Lord. The Lord would often single him out for special attention. For instance, Peter, James, and John several times went with the Lord when the other disciples were not taken. We notice this in Luke chapter 9, when they went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw the Lord Jesus transfigured before them. It was Peter, James, and John who were up there on the mountain, singled out by the Lord for special attention. And then on many occasions, Jesus would also address Peter directly, challenging him concerning his own devotion to the Lord or about some future happening in the life of Peter. We see this in Matthew chapter 16, verses 17 and 19, and verses 21 to 23. We see it again in Mark chapter 14. But we also see it in John chapter 21, verses 15 to 22. Now in this passage, the Lord Jesus especially challenges Peter concerning his love for the Lord. It had been Peter, in the very first verses of the 21st chapter of John, who left his calling for a moment and said, "We're going to go fishing." So they went back fishing again. And now the Lord Jesus is testing him, tests him three times. "Peter, do you really love me more than these?" The "these" would seem to refer to the fish laying there on the beach. They had pulled up the net full of fish on the beach. And now the Lord is saying, "Who is it you really love? And what do you really love in this world?" So Jesus addresses him on many occasions. Then we also notice that Peter would act as a spokesman for the other disciples when addressing the Lord. Many times it would be Peter who would be the spokesman. For instance, Jesus asked the disciples, "Whom do you say that I am?" It was Peter who answered, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." So he would act as a spokesman for the others, or he would ask some question of the Lord. We often see this in Matthew 16 and Luke chapter 9. Now, I just want to take a few moments and speak about those to whom the book was written. The main thing to note that this was addressed to Gentile believers in a very general way wherever they were. This book is very different from the book of James. James makes it very clear that he's addressing the Jewish Christians scattered throughout the Roman Empire. But Peter's language is very different. In other words, it's language that Gentiles would understand. It doesn't refer at all to the law of Moses, but rather it refers to the things that Gentiles would easily understand. And so in this passage, he is speaking to the Gentiles in a very general way wherever they were. And this letter would be shared perhaps from district to district, might even be used all over Asia and parts of Eastern Europe. And so the addressees here would be those who are scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. In other words, it's the Gentile Christians, and they're scattered in every place. There are churches in every place where Paul and others had witnessed, maybe even Peter himself had gone to some of these cities. And so these Gentiles are scattered throughout this whole area. Now, I want to bring this particular lesson to a close, but I want to remind you again that when God speaks, he speaks with authority. Not only because Peter had authority or Paul had authority, but because this is the Word of God. And so we get into the study of 1 Peter and then later 2 Peter and then the other books of the general epistles. We're trying to remember and we're seeking to remember lesson by lesson. This is the Word of God. It speaks to us with great authority and we're to listen to it and we're to obey it. And may God help you, each one.